Now it's time for official introduction to somebody that we're getting to know so well. Liz James is an active lay leader in the Saskatoon congregation and a mother to four boys. She is also a ministerial student and a blogger in her spare time. Liz?
Good morning. Good morning. So thank you for such a wonderful, warm welcome. It's lovely to be able to come and speak to you this morning. This morning, when I put the slide up, at first someone said, "Is that a church?" And I wanted to say, "No, it's a fellowship." The reality is, a number of times this morning, I'll be referring to it as a church because I'm speaking in larger context within a variety of different religious movements and through history. So I was not always able to translate the language and say fellowship. So I'm hoping you'll bear with me with the little bits and pieces of unfamiliar hymns and unusual ways of doing reading and as I'm getting to know you and your style of Sunday morning service. So please bear with me on the language. I love Lego. My passion is buildings. I am forever trying to put together a city with boys who mostly want to build tanks and weapon storehouses. One day I had finished a church I was particularly proud of, complete with stained glass windows and a flaming chalice and rows of parishioners. What's the main part? Where is the main part? My unimpressed six-year-old asked me, frowning. The main part? I echoed, confused. I pointed to the pews and the lectern. Yeah, but where's the main part? He repeated. You know, the church. Here, I pointed in confusion at the rows of pews, and he shook his head. That's where the adults go, he said. Where's the main part of the church? He meant the basement, where the good stuff happens. I had only put the adult daycare in my building. So I explained to him about the history of churches, how in my grandma's time, whole families would sit together in pews and listen to a message. He looked doubtful. He didn't think that the kids would like that very much. I said, according to my grandmother, they didn't. But I explained about the value of obedience and wisdom being imparted and blah, blah, blah. He stopped listening sometime after the obedience part, hauling my parishioners outside to do battle with a pirate ship that had inexplicably sailed up the main street of town. But I know he absorbed some of what I had to say, because later I heard him explain to his brother about old churches what hated kids. Years of human history are brushed away in an instant as old church what hated kids, not the main part. Not the main part. Well, what is? We're used to thinking of churches in terms of buildings and structures and clergy, but is that the main part? Could you be a Unitarian church or fellowship without any or all of those things? As the internet and social media affect how people do community, how they learn and express spirituality, everything is changing shape. People are leaving church, but not for the reasons we might think of first. It's not about as much about belief as it appears to be, for one thing. Census data shows that most of the people who are leaving church structures still hold beliefs compatible with them. They often even identify as part of the religion they are no longer active within. So more than they're leaving belief, they're leaving church. Technology is contributing to changes in how we do community, and of course church is one of the many types of community affected by those changes. And these new technologies may be the building blocks of utopia, and they may be the end of all things precious, and that is not the topic of this talk, because it turns out nobody is asking our opinion. It turns out that it doesn't matter what we decide about social media like Facebook and Twitter, because no one wants our permission. It's not required. These things are changing the way our culture works, and whether or not we use them, we need to find our place in a different world. And to do that, I think we need to know more about the main part of what we do. So what if, in playing with my boys, I'd used Lego to create the actual main part of my congregation? Not the structure, but the life that goes on inside it. What would I make then? Would I make a chalice? A guy reading a book? Would I make a lively debate going on around little cups of plastic coffee? I invite you to think about this question. What's the main part or parts of a church or fellowship? What needs does it serve? What sets it apart from other institutions? If you're new here, what have you valued most out of your previous experiences with church, or what do you dream of in a spiritual community? If you've been around here for a while, think back on your experiences here. Can you think of a few moments that stick out in your mind when you might have thought to yourself, yes, this is what we're here to do? When do we really get to the heart of it? If you were to make the main part of the fellowship out of Lego, what would you make? Now, I'm going to show you what I made. I've been pondering and reading and thinking, and after 2 years of seminary and deep study, here's what I've got to show you as the sculpture of the main part of the church as I have created it out of Lego. I hope you'll be able to see, but you'll get the idea. That was the instructions. But that's not really it. That's the main part of... That's what I had right before I discovered Unitarian Universalism. A dismantled kit. Stuff I'd pulled apart because it was wrong, or stuff that fell apart when I pushed on it. Stuff that demands really twisting the pieces together to get them to fit. I'd thrown away the instructions and I knew I needed to make something myself, but I didn't want to make something by myself. I didn't want to do it alone. I needed something. Someone to say, I've been there and it's tricky. Here's a couple of ideas that helped me. Tell me more about what you're working on. Someone to say, there are other people like you. You can do this. People will say, I can't paint or I can't sing, but nobody will say, I can't play Lego. It's a unique art. There are no long lectures about color composition or architecture in the world of Lego art. There are no famous works to be studied and revered, but there are Beethovens of Lego. There are exhibitions and museum displays of Lego creations. But they're meant to inspire play. They're meant to be copied and changed and shared. For Lego builders, the pulse of the art form rests not with the most brilliant, but with the kid who shouts, hey, cool, and dives in. So I don't know what I'd make to show you the main part of a Unitarian Universalist fellowship, but I sure know that Lego seems like the right art form to use to make it. Well, it would be if I could finish it. I wanted to show you my Lego church building today, but it's still only two-thirds of the way built. It started with just a sanctuary, and then I had to take that apart in the ceiling to make a second floor for the kids' program. And later I realized it really did need a bathroom and a sound room and a piano, and partway through seminary I decided I needed to put in a series of bookshelves and a computer. And my parishioners... It's really hard to make a dignified congregation using primarily minifigures from Star Wars and Pirates of the Caribbean. Although most of the Harry Potter figures fit in surprisingly well. And I'm happy to tell you I did find an excellent minister for my congregation. That's Yoda, if you can't see. It seems to me, though, there's something valuable in this process of change and play. There's something expressed by the actual medium of Lego itself that parallels my approach to spirituality and philosophy. Look at the actual pieces themselves. Look at the bump at the top and the groove at the bottom. It's genius. The way this shape allows each piece to join together to be part of something that's greater than itself. The fit is snug enough to be strong and loose enough to be changed. The bricks can be incredibly solid when put together in certain ways. They can be beautiful enough to be found in museums and humble enough to be found in sofa cushions and the pockets of jeans. And that magical, happy, creative chaos that appears when you dump a bunch of bricks on the living room carpet parallels those small group discussions that we get into about philosophy and life. And there's something in all that, isn't there, about the main part of Unitarianism. That's what I've got for you after 2 years of thinking about this. There's something in all that, isn't there? That's what I have to say, which may not be a clear enough definition of the main part to guide us through these great cultural changes to come, but that's why we have response time after the talk. Because so often the truth isn't spoken until many voices are heard. For the power of different perspectives. I want to tell you a story about a surprising time of different perspectives within my own family that illustrates different views of technology and generations. One night, my very young son, Eric, up on the left, when he was about that age, toddled up to me and proudly held up an empty bottle of medicine, having been praised 2 minutes ago for drinking his first dose of the foul-tasting antibiotic. He had downed the whole thing when I wasn't looking. Now he was grinning broadly in anticipation of how proud I would be and how much praise he would get. He was unpleasantly surprised. Cold terror descended. I had no idea if antibiotics could kill, but I wasn't waiting a moment to find out. I dove for my phone, stuttering in incoherent panic and trying to dial with shaking fingers. And before I had completed dialing the number, my teenage son said, "Stop." I looked over to where he sat, laptop in one hand, medicine bottle in the other. "It's not serious," he said. "We have a minute to think and learn a bit more. People don't die from overdoses on this medicine." In the time it had taken for me to dig up the phone from the couch cushions, he had pulled up the active ingredient on a poison control website. In the moment when what mattered most was on the line, I reached for the authority that could give me the information that I needed, and he reached directly for the information. Although my stepson and I are only 13 years apart, although we use all the same technological tools, on some deep level we are from entirely different worlds. Except we aren't. We both wanted the same thing. The main part was the information for both of us. The gulf between us was found in how we reach for what we need. But at the core, people are still people. Is the same thing true for religious life? I've been learning in my research and study how younger people's approach to church is different. They value community very highly. They highlight the desire to think of their congregation as like their extended family. Which is interesting, because that's hard to find in the big churches that we're accustomed to thinking of as the images of thriving congregational life. The keynote speaker at my seminary's January Learning Intensive was Teresa Cooley, who is Director of Congregational Life for the Unitarian Universalist Association of the United States, which is a lot of big words meaning big-time Unitarian researcher. She explained to a group of ministers and students from all over the continent how for years they've been telling congregations that healthy churches are always growing. Staff for the next size up has been the message for decades. We're used to equating vitality with Sunday morning services that burst at the seams. A huge building, a full complement of staff, a range of professional programs, that's how we thrive. Reverend Dr. Cooley showed us the newest research on religion's place in culture and on what people are looking for from their congregations today, and summed up her perspective on the latest findings with these words. "Oh, shoot." End quote. The talk now is of a new kind of congregation, small, open to a more community-centered and less churchy feel, technologically friendly and willing to experiment with new things. I found this research to be in sync with what I'm learning from informal conversations. To use a recent example, last weekend I was lucky enough to be talking about these issues with a group of Unitarians very diverse in age from all across the country. I asked the group to talk about what the main part of church was for them, I wanted to find more about this difference in how generations value different things in church. The youth and young adults in the group talked about space to be themselves, about exploring their identities and connections with others. They talked about community. They didn't talk about institutional structure or committee work or sermons or all the things I associate with church, because those things aren't what younger people find fun and meaningful. Then we moved on to the elders in the group, and I learned something interesting. It would appear that committee work, institutional structure, and sermons are not what older people find fun or meaningful either. In a great show of Unitarian rebellion, everyone in the group gave a version of the exact same answer: community. So if I had to sum up what I heard the group describe as the main part, I think I might say the religious playdate. I'm not used to thinking that way. I'm used to thinking of our main part in product terms, working to improve our religious product. And if you look at the great artistic producers of the century, the symphonies, the great paintings, the architectural wonders, I would bet that a very small proportion of them were created by playdate. Turns out the main part of a playdate isn't the quality of the product, it's the quality of the creative space. And at the center is not a performer or an artist or excellence, but a graceful host, which is a different paradigm of church, but it's an idea I've gotten used to. After all, lately I've spent a lot of time sitting in the living room reading Unitarian Universalist theology and church research for class, and listening to my boys playing with Lego. There's a lot of overlap. I hear the main part of my religion in their play. I hear it in the mantras of Lego murmuring up from the carpet by the living room fire. Do you think it will hold weight? Let's try. This piece we've always used in this way, we could use it like this instead. This is going to need to be a lot bigger. Let's take it apart at the end and add on bits from over there. That's beautiful. What is it? How is it held together? Can we put a hinge there so it can be opened up? Wait, save that part when you're breaking things. We're going to use it over here. You make that part, I'll make this part, and then let's see if they fit together. I'm done. No, wait. And above all, come on in, we're playing. Words that apply to Lego and words that apply to the way we do church equally. The religious playdate is not a bad idea for a main part. It's not a new idea for a main part either. For centuries, Unitarians have approached theology with a spirit of play and exploration and relationship and experimentation. What if we applied this same spirit to how we do church? What if instead of trying to create the perfect plan to grow our movement by using social media, we just started playing around and connecting and trying new things? What if we worried a lot less about survival as an institution and thought more about the 2/3 of existing Unitarians, not to mention other seekers, who are not at home in traditional structures and are not found in our congregations and fellowships? What if we saw technology not as a to-do item, but as a door waiting to be opened to let our people in? We have a rich tradition, after all, of seeing things this way. We began as a Christian religion committed to reason and conscience, but when reason and conscience led some people to humanism, we made room. Later, when the pagan community came to our doors and said that freedom of religious thought should accompany them too, we made room. When people were pushed out of their spiritual homes because of gender or sexual identity, we made room. Whenever people are pushed out or starved out of religious structures they used to call home, we have gone to wherever they are, and we have built our congregations there. We built churches and fellowships that did not have checkpoints at the door. Whatever your faith, whatever your heritage, whomever you love, we said you are welcome. You are welcome. So long as, of course, you like the idea of attending a service every Sunday morning and listening to a sermon-like presentation, becoming a member and joining committees. For all of our theological flexibility, we still maintain a pretty fixed structure as to how community is done and decisions are made. There's a checkpoint here. You have to be okay to fit into one of several very defined roles. We offer member, guest, and member, but not a very good one and not doing everything they're supposed to. For every person saying, who has time to be on Twitter, there is someone saying, who has time to go to church every Sunday? Both speaking often with an underlying vaguely guilty feeling. For every person saying, what does Facebook friend mean exactly? In today's culture, there is someone saying, what does church membership mean exactly? There's a cultural gap, and from both sides, we need to reach across. Do we need to change how we do things in order to survive? Who cares? Survival is not the main part, and if it were, there are easier ways to accomplish it. We could accept corporate sponsorship or sell indulgences. We don't exist, though, for the purpose of our own survival. But if our purpose is about expanding our thinking about expanding how we do community is to provide a home for those who need us, wherever they may be, that's another story. That's a story about letting people in. It's about hearing our voices in each other's words, as the hymn says, and seeing our faces in each other's eyes. It's about reaching into what can seem sometimes to be a whole different culture to find our people. And if we think in those terms, we don't think about adopting social media to survive. We think about adopting it to serve. Museums of religion are dying, struggling to protect and preserve things that are crumbling all around them. But religious playdates? Well, those spring up around aging institutions like dandelions through cracks in concrete. We belong with the flexible and the living. We are not a religious museum. The main part of what we do is not a structure or a polished product. It's a playdate and a community. We're not the cracking concrete. We're the dandelions. So come on in. We're playing. Closing. Do you want me to do the closing reading?
No, it's just that people are thinking, actually, I think maybe people are going to look for some Lego blocks before they say anything. I'm not sure.
We have some right there.
I'm Az Weibo, and I was just wondering about the church building that you had made. And sometimes when I see my kids building things, and sometimes there's a little bit of, I don't want to break that anymore. Like, it's, I got to keep that. And it's like, no, but that's not what Lego is for. It's for reforming things too, changing things. I don't mean to use the word reformation, but for changing and building something again. And anyway, it's kind of a neat image to have with Lego and with Unitarianism. And I just wonder how you keep your kids from destroying your church.
I have a really high shelf.
As you really speak to me, I'm eagerly anticipating the return of my grandsons, who are 9 and almost 9 and 6 and a half, from Abu Dhabi, where their parents teach. They're here for the summer. And for the last 3 years, I have looked in toy stores for loose Lego. I mean, I want them to be able to create whatever is in their little minds to create. But no, you have to buy preset designs. And this is a practical question. Do you happen to know where I can get those?
eBay. eBay is really good. Garage sales. eBay is really good. And Lego.com, you can get the sets. You have to look really hard. But online is the...
Okay.
Is the answer.
Anyway, thank you so much. I really enjoy it when you speak to us. You do so well, and you speak to where we live. And thank you.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Brita, and we just started coming here probably in February. Is that about right? Anyway, and you know, when you come to speak, so the first time we ever came was the first time that you were here, or that we heard you. And then this time, is it really meets my need for inspiration and knowledge and, like, mind opening. and I really enjoy that. And as I learn more about Unitarianism, I come from marketing, so we have this thing called an elevator speech, which is you've got 10 seconds in that elevator, people say, what's a Unitarian, you know? And I've been struggling because I've been defining things as what we aren't, you know, or where I came from of like the pieces you're talking about. But I would really like to hear your elevator speech of Unitarianism, because I need one.
I have a whole bunch that I use depending on the situation, and I start by asking the person questions about them so I know where they're coming from, which doesn't work for an elevator ride. Well, now that I'm a ministerial student and people say you're studying to be a minister, Unitarianism, what's that? I can speak in terms of the training, and I say it's really interesting training because we have pagans and humanists and Christians and Buddhists and Taoists, and so we have to learn about all those things and what do they have in common and how do they interface, and there's a focus on connection and community around difference is what I say when I say I'm training to be a minister, which doesn't necessarily merge to other things, but... Then I say the reasons that church came to be, which are community and exploring and trying to be a good person and all those kinds of things, are not attached to one specific set of beliefs. And so Unitarians are people with a bunch of different beliefs coming together to make those good things. It asked me three times, but I got there.
Sorry, I'm taking it back to Lego. I thought it was an absolutely wonderful analogy. And the idea of you go and you buy the $32.99 Star Wars one, you have to build this certain... it actually doesn't work that way. My grandchildren all have Lego, and they don't care. They mix it up. They're totally flexible with it. They tear it down. They rebuild it into something else. And they don't follow the instructions a lot. And I thought, yes, and it's such an equalizer because my 15-year-old grandson and my 9-year-old grandson can do this together. They can't do a lot of other things together, but they can build together. And my granddaughter can build with them. And I can build with them. And it does. It breaks down the generational gap when you play together. And if you can find something that lets that happen, it's a wonderful experience for everybody.
A friend of mine told me a little story, which I guess is a joke, that maybe represents Unitarian spirituality. He said there are three kinds of people in the world: those who have figured out the meaning of life and those who haven't.
I think this is going to have to be the last comment or question.
Thanks a lot, Liz. My name's Doug. I like your comment. I thought it was so important what you said about the tendency, and this is, you see this with all institutions, they kind of forget about why they initially formed and it becomes about their own survival. And so we start asking questions like, how can we expand? And I love that marketing approach coming in. And it reminded me of a talk I did a year ago at Naturopathic Medical College I went back to Toronto. To students, because I've got a thriving practice in the West here, and they were trying to ask for secrets for the success. You know, again, it's more about, we have this idea and we have this success, we want to thrive, and what's it all about, and what are your action plans, and how do you do that? And I said, I just tried to become the best human being I could be and actually give a damn and care about the people I'm seeing. And people will sense the experience of care and quality and love. And if you just focus on that and who you're being, the rest falls into place. And sometimes I think we think too much about the agenda and we don't focus enough on the beingness of the activity. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Liz. And thank you, everybody. I have a feeling that this discussion has just begun, and I was just wondering, What about what's the main part of who we are in this fellowship as a summer discussion topic with Lego blocks being optional? Does that sound like a good idea? Oh, compulsory. Oh, well, no, we're Unitarians. It has to be optional. Thank you very much. That was really inspiring, and I think that's what counts.